This morning's reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 12. If you want to follow it in the church Bibles, it starts on page 1091. The resurrection of the dead. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all others. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a human being. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But in this order, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Now if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
Okay, I want to invite Mike to come and join us. Some of you may not know Mike. He is actually one of the vicars here at St. Barnabas, but we don't often see him here on a Sunday morning because he leads Oakley Community Church, one of the churches in our orbit. So he's a good guy, although he is a Greek Cypriot, but we have to forgive him that. So, Father, we thank you for Mike. We thank you for his preaching and evangelism gift. And we pray that as we hear him speak of the resurrection, we would be encouraged and strengthened in our faith.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Henry. In the first 9:30 service, I mentioned that it's a good weekend because Arsenal are in the final of the FA Cup. And after the service, somebody came up and they said to me, I don't know why, but I'm an Arsenal season ticket holder and I felt that I should bring my season ticket to church with me today. I don't know why, but now I do know. It's to give it to you to go and watch Arsenal in midweek. So if there's any other Arsenal fans here... that's this week covered, but there's still next week and the week after, and particularly the FA Cup final will be most appreciated if the Lord directs you in that way. I've never mentioned this in the first service, and I should have done perhaps, but when I was preparing to speak on the resurrection, my preference on a human level was to go for something, and I looked at doing something that was a little bit tamer, if you like. And then every time I went in that direction, I felt very clearly the Lord telling me not to go down that route, but to go for something a little bit more hard-hitting. Although I felt a little bit uncomfortable about that, I felt convicted that I should go in the direction that I felt the Lord was telling me to go, and that some people needed to hear what the Lord has to say here this morning. And that was, praise God, that was borne out in the first service, and my prayer is that it will be borne out in this service as well. Next Sunday, as you all know, is Easter Day. Whereas Christian believers, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the resurrection is a central claim of the Christian faith. And I want us this morning to examine what the resurrection means, both for the believer and also for the non-believer, because there's consequences for both. When we look at the resurrection, when we examine the evidence, we can conclude one of two possibilities. Either Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he's alive and well today, or he didn't and he's dead. He's not alive. I can't see that there's any other conclusion that we can draw. It's got to be one or the other. And I want first this morning to say something to those of you who profess to be Christians here and believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is alive and well today. If that's you, because of that conviction, there'll be a number of things that you can identify with and confess to this morning. First of all, you have made a personal commitment to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Secondly, because of that, you have assurance of forgiveness. Thirdly, you know that when you pray, he hears and he answers you. Maybe not always in the way that you hope or expect, but he does. And fourthly, you are prepared to live a life, to live a sacrificial and costly life in his service. And finally, you're convinced that when you die, your soul will go straight into the presence of Christ, where you will enjoy him in a pain-free, a sick-free, and a sin-free environment for all eternity. If you're a professing Christian here this morning, if that's where you're coming from, that is true of you. But I want to ask you a question, if that's you. If you can identify with all that, I want to put a question before you this morning. What if you're wrong? What if you've got it completely wrong? What if Jesus Christ has not actually risen from the dead? What if that's true? What would that now mean for you if that's the case? If Christ has not risen from the dead, your faith would be futile and you would be the most deluded people in the whole of the world. If I'm a Christian and Christ has not risen, then I'm just a sad, sad case who is to be pitied greatly, the Apostle Paul says. Your faith is futile. Verse 17 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's useless, of no value whatsoever. Verse 17 tells us very clearly that if Christ has not risen, then your Christian convictions are just an illusion, they're just a fallacy. It means that you've trusted a lie. It means that you've staked everything on something that has absolutely no substance whatsoever, and that is very, very sad. I'll use this example again. I got told off in the first morning, in the first service this morning by a GP, but I'll use it again anyway and hope that any GPs here will be kind to me. A friend of mine said that a GP, someone who knows a GP, I'm not saying this is true of all GPs, this is a particular one, and he said that this GP would often have hypochondriacs coming into the surgery, saying that they thought they had all manner of things wrong with them. And in order to just appease the hypochondriac, the GP would just write out a prescription for a tablet called ADT to take to the chemist. And an ADT tablet was any darn thing. And the chemist would see it and know what it meant. So he would give the patient just some sort of fizzy tablet or whatever, and the patient would take it and they would feel perfect, they would feel much, much better as a result. The fact is that the tablet, the ADT tablet, had no bearing whatsoever on their condition, but they felt better for taking it. And similarly, if Christ has not risen, then we're in a similar scenario as Christian believers. Your salvation is just a figment of your imagination. You're deluded and you're to be greatly, greatly pitied. So apart from the fact that you might be deluded as a Christian this morning, what else does that mean for you if Christ hasn't risen? Well, first of all, if Christ isn't risen, then you remain in your sins because there is no provision for forgiveness. The Bible teaches that the central issue that you need to deal with before you can enjoy a relationship with God is this issue of sin. Only Christ, the Bible says, can deliver us from our sins. Therefore, it's only through him that we can enjoy a relationship with God. And that's what Easter is all about. That's why we celebrate Easter. I want to make it very clear this morning from the Bible that not all religions lead to God. Jesus never, ever left that as an option. He stated very, very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, i.e. God, except through me. So therefore, if that's true, if Christ then has not risen, then what that means is that you are still dead in your sins with no way to God. No way. You're stuck. And that means that you have been trusting, you have been praying, and you have been staking your eternal destiny on a man who died 2,000 years ago and who can do no more for your sins or salvation than Julius Caesar or King Herod. So if Christ has not risen, then you are, and you're a believer here this morning, then you are deluded and you're to be greatly pitied above all others because your faith is absolutely futile. Secondly, what does that mean for you as a believer if Christ has not risen from the dead? It means there is no hope of eternal life and that you will be holding on to a false hope in that respect. Verse 18 says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, if Christ hasn't risen from the dead, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. In the last 10 years or so, I've lost somebody close or very close to me pretty much every single year. More recently, I lost my mother-in-law, who I was very, very, very close to, very close. I had a wonderful relationship with her, and she was tragically taken from us. And previous to that, my best friend at the time died suddenly in his early 40s. Both Christians, both believers. Not all of the friends that I've lost and relatives that I've lost over the last 10 years have been believers. But the comfort, there was great comfort that I drew at the graveside of my mother-in-law and my best friend because they were believers. And although the pain was still hard, and although it was still agonizing, I drew great comfort from the fact that this was not the end. This was not a hopeless situation, that they were now in the presence of Jesus Christ, and that one day I and they would be reunited, and that this was just a short parting, as it were. So in the midst of my loss and grief and pain, I was able to draw comfort from the fact that one day I would see them again and we would be reunited. And some of us have stood at the grave of a loved one who was a believer. And those of us who are Christians have drawn similar comfort from the conviction that the person we love is now in the presence of Jesus Christ and we will be reunited one day. But Paul, in 1 Corinthians, is really brutally honest here. And he says, if Christ hasn't risen, then that is just a false hope. For if Jesus isn't raised, then there's absolutely no hope of anybody else ever making it back to life. If Christ has not risen, then our loved ones who died in Christ are simply lost forever, and we are living in denial if we think that they're in the presence of God and they will be one day reunited with them. Some of you may say, well, that's fair enough, Mike, but surely, to offer somebody false hope is better than offering them no hope at all. I never do that at funerals, I have to say. Let me say to you this morning that I want to suggest to you that false hope is probably one of the most painful things that you can offer and damaging things that you can offer somebody. A number of years ago, there was a couple I knew who struggled to conceive. Eventually, they wonderfully did. And then, sadly, the child was taken seriously ill. They were sort of grief-stricken by the fact the doctors told them that there was no hope that the child would die. Although they couldn't make sense of the situation, they were both Christians, they eventually accepted the fact that their child would die and that they would lose it, even though they couldn't understand or make sense of it, and they continued to worship God in spite of their affliction. And then a few hours after receiving that news, the doctors came back and said the child was making a recovery, and that now they were confident that the child would actually live, and they were completely transformed. They thought, praise God, their hopes were now raised, and they believed that their child would live, and that the pain that they had gone would soon be passed. And then a few hours later, the doctors came back and said, "We're really sorry, but the child has actually taken a turn for the worst, and it's not going to recover, and not long after, it died pretty much straight away." And they were completely devastated. Before that, they had accepted it, and they were ready to move forward. They were given false hope, only for that false hope to be tragically taken from them. And they took a long time before they recovered again from that blow. It was a bitter, bitter blow to them. And everyone who has stood by the bedside of a loved one and seen them rally and your hopes raised, only then to see them rapidly decline, will be able to identify with that this morning. So don't ever think that offering somebody false hope is a good thing that will bring them comfort and consolation. You're better off giving it to them straight, generally speaking. If Christ has not risen, then you have had the wool pulled over your eyes because you've staked your whole life on a hope that will ultimately prove to be false. And that's painfully tragic. So thirdly, if you're a Christian and Christ has not risen, what it means is you're wasting your time trying to live the Christian life. It's absolutely pointless. The Apostle Paul paid a very, very high price for following Jesus Christ. We're told that on 5 occasions he was flogged with 39 lashes. On 3 occasions he was beaten with rods. On 1 occasion he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He had been in and out of prison, and he lived in constant danger of his life. That was his life. That's what he went through on a daily basis. Paul was a brilliant academic. He could have had a really comfortable life lecturing in any Jewish theological college, with a fantastic salary and with the respect of the people around him. Why would he endure such incredible suffering instead? Why would he choose that lifestyle instead of the life of comfort that he could have clearly had? There was only one reason: because of his encounter with the living, risen Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, "If Christ is not risen, I have endured all this for the sake of a dead man and a lost cause." The Christian life is so hard that if Jesus Christ has not risen, it just isn't worth pursuing, because Christianity stands and falls on its claim that the resurrection is true. If anybody can prove the resurrection is false, in one fell swoop, you can do away with the Christian faith. If it is not true, integrity demands that we do away with Christianity. What's the point of it? If Christ has not risen, then you have struggled to live a life of holiness, and you need never have bothered to have done so. If he's not risen, that means you've prayed, and it's been like sending emails that keep bouncing back. They never get received. It means that you've spent hours in service for a faith that is totally useless. It means that you have given money sacrificially to the cause that you could have kept and enjoyed for yourself. If Christ has not risen, then I quit as a church minister. I resign this morning, right now, in front of Henry. I'm gone. Because there are far easier ways to live this life than be a church minister. There are far easier ways to earn a living. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. The Christian life is tough. The Christian life is costly. And if you haven't discovered that, I want to suggest to you this morning that perhaps you may look at having to reassess your commitment and relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. It will be costly. There will be hard decisions to make in your life. Committed Christians know that it costs to follow Jesus Christ. And if Christ hasn't risen, it just simply isn't worth it. It isn't. Why bother? I want to tell you what my favorite word in the Bible is. My favorite word, often we hear all this, and at the moment you're thinking, well, gosh, you know, am I a deluded person? And often the Bible throws all this stuff at us, and then it comes up with my favorite word, but. But. And verse 20 says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Well done. Well done. <That's laughs> Yeah, I was going to say at this point Pentecostals would say hallelujah, but I didn't have to because you said it. Well done. Fantastic. Paul doesn't speak of this just as a possibility. Paul declares it as a fact. And God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. And the word of God to us this Easter is that Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, who claimed to be the Son of God, was crucified, died, and was buried, and on the third day he rose again, the Bible says. The tomb was empty. He was no longer there. There is, was, and never will be a body. He lives in the power of a new life. He is alive. So what does this mean to you then? If you're a believer here this morning, what it means is that your faith is real. It means that when you pray, he hears you. The emails don't bounce back. It means that you've placed your trust in him, and because of that, your sins are forgiven. It means that when you die, you will spend all eternity in his presence in unimaginable joy and peace. And for this to be possible, it must therefore mean that God must have accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Because the Bible says there is no other name by which you can be saved other than the name of Jesus. And that means what Jesus did through his death and resurrection is big enough, is great enough, and is good enough to cover the sins of everyone who will confess and put their trust in Jesus Christ. It means that you have certain hope. It means that when you talk about heaven, you're talking about something that is actually going to happen, that you are going to see Jesus. It means that costly discipleship is the greatest investment that you can ever make in your life. I have a fridge magnet in my kitchen that says, which I look at, I've had for years, and I sort of try and as best I can to build my life around it. It says, only one life that will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Everything else is actually of no consequence and will come and it will go. The Bible says it came to pass and it will pass. I want to show us a video now that summarizes some of what I said, and hopefully will help cement some of what I said in your minds a bit better.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. It's fantastic, isn't it? That's fantastic news if you're a believer here this morning. But I don't know all of you. I know some of you. There are many, many of you here that I don't know. I don't know where you're at. I don't know whether you have a faith. I don't know whether you don't. Now, I've spoken, I've said something to those of you who profess faith in Jesus Christ. But I have something to also to say to those here this morning who don't believe that Jesus has risen. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. And we praise God that you are here anyway, despite that. It's fantastic. Love you being here. But maybe you've had a bad experience in the past, maybe as a child or maybe as an adult. Maybe you found Christianity to be hypocritical, boring, and irrelevant. It can come across like that sometimes. And often the church is its own worst enemy. And we sympathize with that view because, to a large degree, you're probably right. Or maybe you have friends that are Christians and they have told you about their new faith. And you can't deny the fact that there's something different about them now, but you just don't get it quite. There are too many unanswered questions and you need them answered before you can move forward, press forward. Or perhaps you just can't accept that Jesus is actually alive. Too many unanswered questions. If that's where you're at this morning, then I now have a question to ask you. What if you're wrong? How about if you're wrong? Because if Christ has been raised from the dead, that means that unbelief is the most futile thing in the whole wide world. What if it's you that's taken the ADT tablet that has no bearing on your condition whatsoever, but you feel better for it? What if it's you that is playing mind games with yourself this morning? Because your reluctance to believe that Jesus Christ is alive and well doesn't actually change the fact that he is. The risen Christ is seated on the throne in heaven with all authority, and he calls men and women to obedience and faith in him. And he calls them to that faith and obedience now. And to remain in a position of unbelief in the light of the resurrection evidence is a little bit like playing Russian roulette with your life. Because if you have not embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the fact is that you remain immersed in your sin. And if Christ really has risen, if you are wrong and he has risen, what it means is that one day you're going to stand before him and give an account of your life, of your choices, and of your decisions. That's what the Bible says. What will you say on that day? What will you say? I was too busy. I have a friend who did an Alpha course a while back, and when I bump into him, he says to me, "Oh, I'm meaning to come to church." I've never even asked him to come to church, but he always says, I've been meaning to come to church, but I've been too busy, or my shifts have changed. I'm doing work on my house now, and that's taken up my time. And somebody popped round on Sunday. I was just about to come to church. And this goes on. Every time I bump into him, months may pass, and I bump into him. And again, it's something. There's always been some reason. He's just been too busy, but he's been meaning to come, but hasn't. Is that what you will say when you come face to face with Jesus? I was too busy? Or will you say, I kept putting following you off because, but I always meant to. I just never got round to it. Or will you say, I just wanted to live my life first, the way I wanted, and then come to you later? Or perhaps you say, actually, I had different priorities at the time. Or will you say, I was still trying to work it all out and make sense of it first? I wanted to work it out in my head first, everything, before I actually came to you. I've got a friend like that as well. He wants to work God out exactly. He doesn't need, it's going to be, he's going to know everything about God before he comes to him. Everything. What will you say? What will you say when you come face to face? Your guilt could have been washed away, But it hasn't been, because you have chosen to stand at a distance from Jesus Christ. Why stand at a distance from him any longer? He's risen, and he stands with open arms to receive you, if only you will come. He has risen. And if he has risen, then it is you who's wasting your life, and everything in it will one day be pointless, because it will pass. And then what? The risen Christ comes to you in grace and offers you the greatest opportunity of your life, an opportunity to invest your life in eternity. I have another fridge magnet. No, it's not a fridge magnet. It's one of my sayings, actually, that I live by. I put it up on my office wall often. And it says, what you do now will echo in eternity. And I do my utmost to live my life that it will echo in eternity. That when I've gone from this life, that what is left behind, I've left something that will echo in eternity. Something that will make a difference for all eternity. Everything else will just pass and is of no consequence. So this week, why do Christians celebrate Easter? Because we will share the glory of Jesus Christ's resurrection life. And if you receive his grace this morning, you will also share in that glory. Jesus Christ was crucified for you. He offers peace with God, reconciliation, forgiveness of sins, and he invites you to follow him. His offer this morning is grace and mercy. And when you receive his grace, you will find yourself turning from a life that is all about yourself to live a life that follows Jesus and that it's all about him. Jesus Christ has conquered death. That means that he is a savior that you can believe and trust in. Why? Because if he has conquered death, just as he promised, then everything else he promised must also be true. That means then that you can trust your life, your death, and your eternity to this risen Lord. Christ has made a move for your very soul. By his death and resurrection, he has made a way by which you can be forgiven and enter into an eternal relationship with the living God. He has made this move for you. But this morning there is something that you must do as well. You need to make a move as well. You need to believe and embrace Christ in repentance and faith as Lord and Savior of your life. Will you do that, I wonder, this morning? Because as you do, your sins will be forgiven. Your life will have new meaning and new purpose. You will have the hope and the certainty of everlasting life. You will see Jesus and you will be with him and you will enjoy him in perfect bliss and harmony for all eternity. So this morning, will you not grasp the greatest opportunity in life? An opportunity to live a full and abundant life, even in the midst of great difficulty sometimes. And not just in this life. The promise is not just for this life, but for the next. Christ has indeed risen from the dead. Question is, what is your response to be this morning to this wonderful truth? In a moment, we're going to receive communion. Henry's going to come up for that. But before we do that, before I hand over to Henry and the band, I just want to pray. I believe there are those here this morning that have yet to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe that some here may have been sitting on the fence. Some may have had bad experiences of Christians or the church. If that's the case, what I would say to you is don't blame God for that. Christians are just human beings like everybody else who make mistakes. Please don't blame God for that. Others of you may have loads of questions that you need answered, and that's what's been holding you back. Others of you may have not, in a moment, as we're going to receive communion, and for whatever reason, because you have not professed faith in Jesus Christ, you have never stepped out to receive communion because of that. And this morning, I want to say to you that if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what a wonderful time, this Easter time, to come forward and receive communion as a child of God, as somebody who is part of God's family. So if the Lord has spoken to you this morning in some way, you have not embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you know that he's speaking to you this morning, and you want to receive him, and step forward to receive communion, maybe for the first time. As we all have our eyes closed together, I want to invite you right now just to raise your hand so that I can pray for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I will say a prayer, and then in the quietness of your heart, what I want you to do is repeat the words in your heart, professing your faith and receiving Jesus. If that is you, can you just indicate that to me right now by just raising your hand, please, so I can pray for you. If we can all just keep our eyes closed. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is anybody else? Thank you. I just want to give another moment, actually. So I just feel there still is somebody here. There's still at least one person here still, who still, even now, you're battling with whether you want to take that step or not. Because it may mean that you have to relinquish control of your life. And that really makes you nervous. Or you haven't got the questions answered, and that is an issue. So I just want to wait. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Okay, those of you who have indicated and raised your hands, I just want to pray a prayer now. And then in the quietness of your heart, I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. The words themselves don't have any magic in them. God looks at the sincerity of your heart, and that's all that matters. So just repeat this prayer after me in the quietness of your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess to you that I have lived my life for myself, and that I am a sinner in need of your salvation. Thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. Thank you that because you bore my sin and guilt, I can now be forgiven. I don't understand it all, Lord, but I receive your forgiveness right now. Receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I invite you to come into my life as my Lord and Savior and take it over and help me to live it for you. Amen. Those of you who raised your hands at the end of the service, please will you come and make yourself known to myself, to Henry, or to somebody else on the ministry team, or to somebody with a badge if we're with somebody, because we'd like to pray for you further and then to tell you what the next steps are to take in your faith. And what I want to say to you as well is there is a big, big party in heaven this morning. A big, big party. because now you may be citizens of the United Kingdom, but you are now also citizens of heaven, and that is where your eternal destiny lies. So praise God. You may not fully understand or grasp what you have done, but it doesn't make it any less real or certain. And what you need to do now is to move forward and grow and develop. And those questions and those answers and those issues that you had, even though you may not get the complete answers, they will just somehow begin to grow strangely dim and not matter as much as you get closer and closer to Jesus Christ.